This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Okay, take a deep breath.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's still no empirical reason to get too worked up about inflation yet. This morning, the government said there was a decent increase in retail prices last month. But again, as much as I hate repeating this, it's still all about food and gasoline. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Prices for crude oil hit record levels in May. Food costs could compete in the Olympic high jump. So it's no surprise the consumer prices rose 0.6% last month.
Does this mean that the inflationary genie is out of the bottle? I don't think so.
That's Richard DeKayser, chief economist at National City Corporation. He says it's the core inflation numbers that make him so calm. Core excludes food and energy, and it rose just 0.2% last month. DeKayser says core numbers and labor costs are a better measure of true inflation.
So while we have unambiguously suffered an intense price shock for commodities and especially energy, labor costs remain remarkably benign. Over the past year, up less than 1%.
The threat of inflation remains, but at least some economists, like DeKayser, think that threat is overstated. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Saudi Arabia wants oil producers and consumers to figure out what the heck is going on with the price. So the Saudis will host an oil summit next weekend. Stephen Beard has more from London.
The Saudis set up the summit to deflect the growing anger of oil-consuming countries. The British Prime Minister's described OPEC as scandalous. The Australian leader called for the G8 to take a blowtorch to the cartel. But it's far from clear that the weekend meeting in Jeddah will ease the record price of oil. It could just be all talk, says Carola Hoyos of the Financial Times, and that would make matters worse.
Calling such a meeting raises expectations that the Saudis can do something about the high oil prices. If we get to Jeddah on Sunday and, in fact, nothing happens, the market will very possibly go up.
The Saudis and other OPEC members argue the main reason for the rising price of oil is not insufficient supply, but speculation and the weakness of the dollar. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Oil is at $135 a barrel this morning. Some minor gains on Wall Street so far. The Dow is up 33 points, about 0.3%, to 12,177. The NASDAQ has put on 17, and the S&P 500 is up a couple points. In Asia, stocks finished mostly lower, although the Nikkei did see fractional gains. European shares are down 0.5% so far. I actually feel bad complaining about prices when I hear about the people in Zimbabwe. Their president, Robert Mugabe, is a tyrant, to be polite about it. Last week, he forbid nonprofit groups from giving out food and aid to people. And now it seems whatever aid is getting through is being diverted only to Mugabe supporters. Jeremy Hobson has more.
Kenneth Walker is based in Johannesburg, South Africa, for CARE International.
We can't deliver food. We can't do any of the other activities that we were involved in.
Outside organizations are central to feeding and caring for Zimbabweans. With 80% unemployment and 165,000% inflation, 4 million people now rely on food aid, and the U.S. already has nearly $100 million of food earmarked for Zimbabwe this year. Edward Brown, with a consortium of aid organizations called CSAFE, is in Zimbabwe. He says food has become a political football.
The government makes it political, but it's not meant to be.
The Mugabe government says NGOs are bribing people with food in order to win votes for the opposition. Aid workers say that's paranoia. And despite the hijacking of a food truck this week by Mugabe supporters, NGOs say their assistance will continue no matter who wins the runoff election on June 27th. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
So maybe you've heard by now, U.S. Airways is going to start charging for soda, $2 a can. Beer, wine, and liquor is going up to $7 a piece. The Flight Attendants Union is not happy about this. They're on the front lines and have to deal with the frustrated passengers. But here is one small ray of sunshine about flying. Orbitz is planning to offer a new perk. If you book a ticket on Orbitz and the fare drops before you get on the plane, The website will refund you the difference, as long as it's between $5 and $250. Expedia says it wants to see how this goes, and it might try it as well. This is the Morning Report for Friday, June 13th on Marketplace.org. Of all the food price increases, the one to watch the most this summer has to be corn. Sarah Gardner has more from our sustainability desk.
A wet, cool spring combined with recent flooding is fueling forecasts of a smaller U.S. corn harvest this year, and that's driving corn prices up to new records.
We're in uncharted territory as we speak.
Commodity analysts like David Hightower watched corn futures surpass the $7 a bushel mark this week. Some predict prices are headed much higher. That doesn't bode well for already steep food prices, since corn's an ingredient in so much processed food. Dan Bossi is president of research company Ag Resource.
Somewhere at the end of this year and then beginning of 2009, the U.S. consumer is going to be facing probably a 30 to 40% rise in the price of hamburger, the price of milk, the price of eggs, and all those other things that go along with high corn prices.
Analysts predict some pork and beef producers will go belly up due to pricey corn feed. Bossi says a few small Midwestern ethanol producers have already closed down temporarily as corn prices soar. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
The construction business has been especially dangerous this year in New York City. There have been at least 15 construction-related deaths. Crane accidents alone have killed 9 people. An owner of a construction site in Brooklyn was charged with manslaughter this week after a worker died on the job. More now from Elisa Roth.
The worker died when a trench he was digging collapsed. The construction site's owner is being charged with manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide, and reckless endangerment. He's being held on a $25,000 bond.
The city is sending a message to construction companies that they need to make worker safety a priority.
David Ullman's a law professor at the University of Michigan. He says this kind of accidental death doesn't fit precisely into the definition of manslaughter, but New York's trying to make a point. The district attorney prosecuting the case and the city's building commissioner both say they'll pursue more of these lawsuits in the future. Ullman says those cases may not end with a prosecution, but authorities don't have many alternatives, since even at the federal level, this kind of crime is only a misdemeanor under workplace protection laws. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The U.S. Open golf tournament is underway in Southern California. The course looks stunning, but you might be surprised to learn it is not a private country club. It's a public course, and it's cheap to play. Time to visit with our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. Diana, why is pro golf doing this?
Well, you know, the Masters is very elite, and it's great to look at Augusta National in April. But we know that neither you nor I, even with our public radio status, could even walk that course. So, you know, they want to have it at a public, a municipal-owned course, as a matter of fact, Torrey Pines, where, you know, so many visitors come, so many people live down there. And when this gets over, you're going to walk and play those exact same greens that Phil Mickelson putted on. It's pretty exciting.
And how much will it cost to play around?
Well, right now it costs $42 on a weekday.
That's
$42. The 2002 Open that was played at Bethpage Black out in Farmingdale, which is Long Island, New York, that costs $31 on a weekday to play out there. Anybody walks down, you plunk down $31 at the pro shop, you're on that course. And they call that the People's U.S. Open.
But at these courses, are they raising the rates after all the attention of the U.S. Open?
Well, not immediately. As a matter of fact, the USGA made a deal with Torrey Pines that at least for one calendar year, they must keep it their greens fees exactly the way they are now, so that somebody watches this weekend and they say, hey, I was thinking of taking our family vacation in September, and I'd love to play around, you know, where I saw Tiger walk that same 18th fairway. Of course, the course is a little different. You know, they make that rough a little, you know, longer and tougher. They make the greens a little bit slicker, so that they make it as tough as they possibly can for this weekend. But you're still standing in that same, you know, not so rarefied air that the pros did.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So the USGA, does it have a game plan for continuing this?
Yeah, Scott, like 5 out of the next 8 U.S. Opens are going to be in public courses starting this year. In 2015, there's a terrific course just out of Seattle called Chambers Bay. Again, public course. Everybody gets out there and knocks around, you know, horrible shots off the tee. And they're already looking forward to say, these guys are coming to our little public course. Fantastic.
All right, Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.